Welcome to the Hospitality Maverick podcast with me, Michael Tinkser. We at Hospitality Mavericks are here to inspire leaders to create heart-centered and profitable businesses from the inside out, the kind that both employees and customers love and support. Thanks to BizSimply for sponsoring this episode as our show partner, and BizSimply is the all-in-one HR, workforce management, rote and operations software designed and built by hospitality experts to make every shift run like clockwork. And we join forces to help the industry find new ways to become even more innovative in how we lead our people, how we operate, to how we grow our businesses, to how we serve our customers. Together, we want to share strategies and tools that can make the industry thrive long term, not just survive.
And I am consistent in my message. I'm consistently upbeat. Somebody asked me how I'm doing. Awesome. I'm consistent with the way in which I'm going to treat a person. I'll be honest. I'll be transparent. I won't say something behind something back that I won't say. But consistency in the way of the guest experience, consistency of the team members being with each other. There is a huge value and worth in continuity, consistency. I'm a huge believer of that.
I'm extremely excited to have Maverick Larry Coleman back on the show. He was here on episode number 88 in 2021. Yes, that was in the pandemic. And it was very interesting what we were talking about as the pandemic evolved. We talked a lot about how can you actually humanize the experience of hospitality with this extraordinary event going on. And today he's back to share the journey as it has evolved since we last spoke. We talk about from shifting priorities of guest safety in 2021 to profound impact on literature in leadership. Larry unpacks the creation of the AKA way and the DNA of AKA. He reveals what they've been doing to shape this very unique philosophy around their business. We delve into his all-time favorite books and lessons alongside with his current reads and the most significant insights he gained as a business leader over the years. Larry also shares his daily practices for making a positive impact, his top advice for leaders aiming to use their business as a force for good, and the one question he wished I've asked him. If you want to get more insights on what Maverick leaders know and do, as well as more backstage info on the show, sign up for our weekly newsletter, Maverick Talk, 5 minutes each week that could transform your leadership and business forever. Find the link in the show notes or visit hospitalitymavericks.com and sign up. Now, get ready for an episode packed with wisdom, inspiration, and practical tips to elevate your leadership and business game. Let's dive in. There's nothing more I love, and I've had a couple of those because we've been going now for, I think it was last week's 300 episodes. So some guests coming back, and today's guest is the true Maverick, was on episode 88, where we talked about humanizing hospitality in the middle of the biggest storm ever hit the industry, the pandemic. And Larry, who is joining us today, he have a lifetime. He's born into it, and he's now on a journey of respecting 110 years of history. And actually, the reason why we're sitting here is actually because I put out a newsletter where I talked about the power of books and what you can learn from them if you actually, you know, read them and start writing about them, make your own summary. And Larry reached back and said, this is actually how I developed, together with the team, the whole philosophy around our business and why we make the decisions we are doing today. But Larry will be much better explaining this. Welcome back to the show, Larry. It's a great pleasure to have you back. And thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate being back. And I love everything you do. You are such a great, powerful voice for our industry. So thank you, my friend.
Oh, I'm very grateful. Thank you very much for saying that, Larry. So let's just touch base. We'll, of course, people should go back and listen to episode 88 because it's a great episode. Even though it's in the pandemic, it's actually much more about how we prepare ourselves for the future. It'll be interesting to hear, just to catch up and say, what's actually happening at AKA and, you know, you did a lot of change in the pandemic. You were listening a lot to the customers. But what's actually happened since, you know, evolved out of the pandemic? Because this is actually 2021. I checked yesterday. So actually, it's actually a long time ago. If you took it to years, but time has flown away.
It's 3 years, but it feels like 30 years ago, yeah. Having come out of a global pandemic. And I think we really have transitioned and morphed as much as any in real estate, residential real estate or hospitality, because we did really well after the pandemic or during the pandemic. We resonated anew. I think travelers were not traveling as much, but they were staying longer and they were seeking self-sufficient sanctuaries and AKA assuage one's need of having a kitchen where they could cook or dine. They had a living room where they could work or relax. So AK did really well. And it was an opportunity to try something anew as we've evolved as a family business over five generations, from home builder to apartment developer to my father pioneering the first furnished apartment in the 60s, to my brother and I really taking this furnished apartment concept to its highest iteration with AV as furnished service residence and AK as higher-end hotel residences. It was an opportunity and an intrigue to think about acquiring, maybe at a discount, some of the most iconic hotels and reimagining them in a way that resonated anew in today's new normal that came from the pandemic. So where we were really focused on buying condominiums and furnishing one and two bedroom residences, we were able to raise money globally a lot more than we thought we would be able to raise to bring that extended stay, highest end iteration of extended stay to these traditional hotels that no longer were resonating, and to buy them perhaps at distress, but we looked at it more as an opportunity, and then to breathe new life into these hotels, transforming them into hotel AKA. So we right now have 16 properties, of which 9 are hotel residences, aka hotel residence, and 7 new ones over the last 2.5 years that were either in the process of transforming or have completed the transformation as hotel AKA. So it has been a very busy 3 years and a lot of changes as we enter our 110th year and fifth generation.
Yeah, and it is incredible to hear, because I guess that's typical what we've seen across the hospitality industry. There's like been people is accelerating on the back of that. They got some new learnings. They unlearned some old stuff. They learned some new stuff and really adapted their, you know, business to what the customer needed. The customer is rewarding that. And then, of course, when there's good traction, everything else follows. Are you going to keep that momentum? Is that the plan? Is that how it looks right now?
Well, we want to embrace that arena within hospitality that we created, which is the service residence, and still reimagine that, but couple that with the hotel, so that where we were really focused on that 2 week to 3 month stay, why can't somebody come for a week in a traditional hotel room and maybe we make it a little larger, but we reimagine the closets with closet organizers and illumination, a larger bathroom where you have a shower, two sinks, more space to live longer there. And then a wet bar where you could make it, grind coffee beans and make a good cup of coffee, come back later, shake a martini and have your coffee and cocktails within a wet bar. So we're reimagining the traditional hotel room where one could not just, as most Americans do, go 1 or 2 days, but really understand the vibe of a city and stay longer. It's so hard to travel today. So to try and take that daily stay to a weekly stay, just as we took a weekly stay and made it a several month stay for individuals who had to stay monthly. So it's still within the realm. And we don't define AKA by length of stay or square footage. It's really, and this goes as a segue to the books and the learning and the vision and value of Corman, it's really a spirit AKA, an ethereal essence of escaping some form of chaos in your life and creating a sense of calm when they walk into AKA hotel residence or hotel AKA, and feeling this sense of home, having a connection with the community, a vibe of the street, the pulse of a neighborhood. So that really defines AKA more than, is it an apartment? Is it a room? Is it a condo? Am I staying 2 weeks? Am I staying 3 months? Or am I staying 2 days? So it's really bringing something different and unique to hospitality.
And Larry, that's a great segue actually over to, you called it the soul, which is quite interesting. You will see I will put out something out soon around the soul, because that's the biggest job you have in any business is, how do you create that soul no matter what you are in principle delivering, if it's shoes, building hotels, you can do it seamless because that culture really helps you. And I think I was listening back to our previous conversation. You talked about the AKA way and actually how it actually helped you through the pandemic. And I've heard other leaders talking about actually that cultural work they did that sometimes it's difficult to figure out. Does it really work? How much does it contribute with in a crisis? You really see the power of it. Talk a bit about when you reached out to me, because you wrote a really interesting email around the power of reading books and reflecting on them and bringing these learnings into the business.
What you wrote really resonated with me and struck a chord, because we grew up with 23 apartment communities in Philadelphia. I wanted to take what we were doing that I thought was special, but we were doing it in a more of a C-level way in Northeast Philadelphia, Norristown, garden-style apartments. I wanted to sort of take this beyond the provincial settings of Philadelphia. And we had established a brand during the 80s. There wasn't cable or internet, so we were doing it with billboards and magazines and newspaper. And I even got Howard Stern, who wasn't even known in Philadelphia, to do our radio commercials. And we three-dimensionally built this Corman Suites brand out of these 23. And the idea was the synergies of the 23 with one brand was stronger than the individual parts. But I wanted to take that beyond that. And I had to leave sort of the family business with my brother, start our own company called Corman Communities, and slowly buy or build with partners one property after another in Delaware, in Washington, in New Jersey, in North Carolina, in Georgia. And my fear was that there was a legacy to our family history, the way in which we operated. I wanted people to know who we were. I wanted them to know our background, but I wanted to know what we did, how we did it, why we did it. There was a reason why we were doing it and what was important to us, even if it wasn't of financial importance. So I did start working as we were looking at properties outside of our provincial setting, or what are the things that matter to us? So I started on a dining room table that my wife and I had doing something. And it was while I was in traffic, I saw this van in front of me as I was going to a property in Baltimore that was Quest. And I said, oh, quality, excellent service, teamwork. And then I thought the U was uniqueness. So I wanted to create something that was Quest. And it was the vision and values of Corman Communities that we were creating and taking on the road, because nobody knew what Corman was outside of Philadelphia, Corman, Norman, whatever. You can't just say, oh, this is who we are. And as we were going to grow, I knew individual leaders had to understand who we were and what we did and why we did it. So I started writing things that I was thinking about. I got inner emails of other people's thoughts. I was reading a ton of magazines in Forbes and Fortune, but there was no shortcut to the amount of knowledge that goes into a book, which is much deeper three-dimensional process of thought. So I started reaching for the In Search of Excellence, Good to Great, the One-Minute Manager, one after another, Chip's books, books on Disney, Howard Schultz on individual ones with Starbucks, just one after another. I just read, and I write a lot of notes and put that down. I had all these Q-U-E-S-T. I had the vision, the value, the principles, the practices. And it was right before, and probably for 2 years, this table piled up. And it was 2 months before my first child was going to be born, which was January 1st, 1995. My wife said, you have 2 months to finish this. And I literally, around the clock, put it into an 88-page book with a cool graphic of a horse that was sort of like the farm that my great-grandfather sort of driving into this new day of a way in which to live and the evolution of residential real estate. And it became the mantra for as we went, I would share this book because they understood the culture of Corman and what it meant to us, even if it weren't business route, how we wanted to be perceived in the neighborhood, how we wanted to treat our resident, raving residents. I read Ken Blanchard's Raving Fans. All that had an influence to depict and describe common sense business practices that matched with the way in which I felt in my gut, my heart, my head, the way in which I wanted to communicate. So using the power of books and other thought leaders to take those things you believe in your core gut and deliver that to new team members in new cities was critical. And it really did help as we brought four properties in North Carolina, two large properties in Atlanta. It really helped that. when we started AKA, which was a new vision for us in really 2004, it was within the realm of hospitality. So I had to take that thinking of Quest, and there were other iterations. We got questions, so I created requests and questions and other variations. But with AKA Way, I had to throw all that away, get new books, new thought leaders who were in the hospitality, a little bit more directed and funneled toward that, but still take this hybrid of who we were and what we were doing with service residents and create the AKA Way. And I dealt more with the principles and practices, such as creating a tool for how you make a bed so that our housekeeping team members won't hurt their cuticles, and then showing them videos of how they would do it. So AKA Way was both in 2014 a manual, but there was also an intranet site that showed them, here's how we stock the kitchen. Here's how we put the grinder and the coffee machine, because we want people to hear it and smell it. So it's a three-dimensional organic experience. And we would show them videos how they make a bed. We then eventually, because of partnerships, not understanding the long game of AKA or hospitality, we put together the soul of AKA, which is called the DNA of AKA, which is a separate intranet site about who we are, what we do, why we do it, and why they have to trust in the process. So we're speaking to our partners, our investors, so they can almost look under the hood. And that's something you can't do with just a written manual. You can show, explain, give different ways in which to do it. So there's an evolution of books forming a foundation to how we want it to be projected and how we want it to operate in real life in the outside of our community, but then dealing with leaders, partners, and going more three-dimensional with a book, a manual that came alive, and an intranet site that could go really delve really deep.
It's fascinating because you were talking about, I think I counted four different, you know, platform, maybe five even. But coming back, are you still using the original book? Is that still given to people, or it depends on which part of the business you're in, you get, you know, either the AKA Way, or have you segmented like that, or actually is the first book still the Quest?
So we are a century and a decade. So I'm constantly reminding our leaders, the leadership, of the evolution of AK. How did we get here? And it's sort of like, what's that casino in China that sort of just evolved very quickly? They just hired great architects, great food. I don't even remember the name. Versus Las Vegas, which has a DNA to Las Vegas. And I'm very good friends with Wayne Newton, who's really taken me through the evolution of Vegas. It's got a soul, a breadth and depth of experience. So we have that. I don't want to minimize that history of home builder, apartment developer, that evolution to get us to where we are today. There's a breadth and depth that is different than all these Johnny come latelys who want to take advantage of extended stay and do what we do. And they put together pretty pro formas and sell that. So I think it's important that people understand how we got to this point. And I constantly am sharing Quest from 30 some years ago. So over the four decades, my personal experience of apartments, furnished apartments, service residents, hotel residents to Hotel AKA is important, because a lot of what I'm thinking and feeling and it's coming from that breadth and depth. So why we do certain things, the why is very important. There's a power to because. We're doing this because it does this. I think because we were so crazy about attention to detail, and I've always said that the angels are in the details, not the devils. I think because everybody who stayed with us and everybody who worked with us know that we are so crazy with cleanliness and attention to detail and presentation that during the pandemic, I said this on your show, we did not have to talk about what our cleaning policy was. We were able to talk about the sexiness of travel. You need travel even more, and where better to come here? And we were able to talk about the kitchens and the living rooms and having New York all to yourself on a silver platter. So when everybody else in our industry was talking about cleanliness, we didn't need to. And I really attribute that to some of the things that are important to us that might not be important to others, that was spelled out to the nth degree in Quest, in AKA Way, in the DNA of AKA. We were the first to have pure essential oils in the lobbies for 30 years, because my wife had a day spa with aromatherapy and pure essential oils. So all those things are important to us for reasons beyond just what other people are doing. And we never look at what other people are doing. We blaze our own trail always. And books help in that respect also.
Yeah. And I was like, a couple of questions that came up. Well, I think the first question I would like to explore with you, that seemed like, you know, an enormous, you know, a lot of work. And it seems like you have to wait quite a long time to see the benefits of it. Is it worth it to do it, even short term?
It's worth it because I look at the other side. My dad always told me, well, if you didn't do it, what would be the outcome? The outcome would be a lot of frustration. I'd have a lot grayer hair than I have now. I think you'd be bothered because one person can't be everywhere. And as a leader, you don't want to micromanage. So if you don't spend and invest a lot of your time early on in communicating three-dimensionally what matters to you, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to go to property and you're going to see all the furniture shoved against the wall instead of it floating. You're going to see pictures tilted. You're going to see things that they've added that don't fit the brand model. So I think the more you can invest as a leader into communicating three-dimensionally, effectively, and intranet sites help, books help, you're explaining to your team members what matters to you, what differentiates our company versus other companies, and why that will resonate and why you need to trust the process, so to speak.
And it is super interesting because I'm part of a very young business. We're 2 years in and we spend lots of time on the three-dimensional thing, actually getting things writing down, rewriting them. When we do a strategy document, it's not like a PowerPoint presentation with 1,000 slides. It's a story telling happening on paper. It's actually a meeting where all the ideas come up and then we go down and write the route to market. It's a story we tell where the successes and failures written in, and that's the strategy document. And then we write the book of culture, as I call them. And you, in my view, what you've done is the book of culture. And I say to all founders, all CEOs, you need to write that, because how are you going to explain how this is going to be delivered? You know, what kind of beliefs and behaviors do you want to see? And thereby the kind of results your organization will deliver in the end.
Wholeheartedly agree. I think it's critical. For a company, there are certain books that dealt with this, but there are ways in which to differentiate yourself. And it's not just by the physical or the price. There's a spirit that you sense above and beyond that. And that comes from exactly what you just said.
And it's interesting when you talked a lot about the soul, and I have numbers of people here on the podcast because we're probably focusing on them. We asked the question, talks about the soul, that thing that lives beyond themselves. It's bigger than themselves. That's actually what they are in service of. Do you feel as well with actually, you know, putting it on paper, bringing it to life, involve the business in this with Feeding Back, actually you brought a soul to life that, you know, you are in service of now? That's your job, to keep on evolving that soul or that intelligence almost.
There's an ethereal essence, TK, that I mentioned earlier. And if you don't put it in paper and communicate it three-dimensionally to your team, the idea of being in New York City with all the horns and chaos, when you walk through, you're explaining why you have minimal architectural vernacular, because it's soothing in and of itself by not having a lot of stuff. You explain why there's just a few people at the front desk. Less people, less guests, less people working there is soothing. Lighting that's a little bit more organic and dimmed is soothing. Soft music is soothing. All those elements, pure essential oil, smelling that, again, soothing. You don't know why that when we say the calm of AKA, going from chaos, it's your senses are taking these elements in together. If you don't explain that, it's not saying when you walk in, now you be calm. You're three-dimensionally creating a calm environment that they are picking up. It's organic. It's happening naturally without words having to be spoken. But the words need to be spoken, written, and delivered and understood by your team to create that.
I love to work with the team over at BizSimple because they are always striving to get better, 1% better every day. So I had to share this with you, because BizSimple have launched a new blogcast, which highlights some of their favorite Hospitality Maverick podcast episodes over time. And if you're new or a hardcore super fan of the show, this is a perfect opportunity to catch up with some of the standout episodes from our massive back catalog. The Disassembly team has and will be extensively transcribing interesting moments from each episode while providing some new insights on our brilliant guest, the Mavericks. There's already some great write-ups with Mavericks like Chef Chantel Nicholson and the co-founder of Singerman's Community of Businesses, Ari Weinswein. Find them at thissimply.com/blog and click Blogcast on the right side menu. Enjoy. What about investors? Because you talked about investors earlier. What do they say when they see that?
It's funny. There's three levels of investors. When we did multifamily, it was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You buy an old property, you put new carpet in, you see the quid pro quo, the return on investment, very easy for investors. You hold it a certain time, it goes from this level to that level, very straightforward. You add the furnished component, a second dimension, and like our AV portfolio, it's a little bit of a process. You're creating something unique. You're taking time to fill a funnel to generate a very hybrid type of sales. It's neither the hotel guest nor the apartment renter. It's somebody in between. So there's a process, a sales process to fill that funnel until you start reaping the rewards. When you go to hotel and you want to reimagine hotel, it's really a special type of investor that understands you're taking several steps backwards, almost like buying a football team in America where you might spend $100 million, lose $20 million a year, and 20 years from now, it's worth $6 billion. This is the sweeter fruit on the farther limit. It's not for every investor. And we've had some great investors, some of the largest, like the BlackRock, Brookfield, who get it. They understand there is a catharsis, a process that's over time. And Americans have to learn to play the long game a little bit more like the Chinese, where it's not, all right, in 3 to 5 years, I want to make this and sell. They're thinking 20 years out, 30 years out. They'll be the ones who are investing in hotels in San Fran right now because they're not thinking 5, 10 years. So the hotel operator who wants to create something truly special, especially in our case where we're buying the most dissipated properties that were available for $19 million. And right during a pandemic when there's supply chain issues, right when inflation's jumping out, it may cost a little bit more and take a longer time to transform it to resonate anew. And then it may take another 2 years versus 1 year to teach the community and the public at large that there's a new way in which to stay at a hotel. So it is not for the faint investor, but it's one of the reasons we create the DNA of AK so they understand what we're doing and they're involved in the process and they're seeing and reaping those benefits, getting global accolades for the renovation of the Roger into Hotel AK Nomad by Interior Design, getting the global accolade as the best hotel renovation transformation in the United States this year at Hotel AK Alexandria. Those in and of themselves don't assuage an investor's return on investment, but what it says to them, all right, I took an ugly Holiday Inn that was dissipated. I took an ugly building that was closed down for $19 million. This group came in and metamorphosized the way in which the traveler is going to remunerate us for that. You have to, with sophisticated travelers, show them why they should pay from $200 to $500. And to go through that leap, you have to create something that justifies that. And there's a process to doing that. So taking older hotels and breathing new life and thinking of a hotel differently, not just doing hotels it was like a Sheraton or Marriott or Hilton, but bringing a new way to look at hospitality, there's a process to that. And I think we have patient, understanding investors globally that get what we're trying to accomplish. It's just not easy when you're in the thick of things, coming out of a pandemic, spending a lot of money. But I think they believe in we're going through that path. But there is a leap of faith by a global investor to say, all right, I'm entering the fray of hospitality. It's a longer term investment. Am I willing to wait 10 years versus the 3 to 5 years as I might do with multifamily?
And I guess that's the three dimensional again. It's very clear to them how you operate and make decisions. They're not guessing in a way. They have the idea about how you would actually act and think about spending their money in principle.
I think it's human nature from anybody in a financial standpoint to say, all right, I've given you this amount of money. It's cost us more. You haven't given me anything back. Do this now. And part of my role as the leader, and one of my favorite books, if I had to pick one of the books that I used way back when, would be Good to Great. It is very easy for a company to stay good. You can be a B, and you can get beat down by your partners or your team leaders or your customer and do things that compromise the integrity of what I've always believed and I learned from my father. You must stand. Any company must stand for something specific and something special. We never wanted with AKA to be everything to everyone. We wanted to stand for something really specific, but created in such a special way that we were the best within our little niche at doing this. And there's every monthly meeting, when you don't hit a number, they say, do this. This is what everyone else is doing. Put this up, put that out, don't do this. And it's without them knowing it, it's things that compromise the integrity of the brand. And in my view, strong view, hurt the ramp up to get to something that's really valuable. Because to be really valuable, you have to create what an Amman was willing to do, Adrian Zecca, to create something that had never done before. What the team Izzy Sharp did with Four Seasons at a time when everybody was beating down to cut the quality of toilet paper. And the Ritz-Carlton did it. All the others that were equal to the Four Seasons did it. He demanded that his team stay the course. And there's such a sharp divide between what the Four Seasons brand is today and the Ritz-Carlton is today. Yeah. And it wasn't just diluted by Marriott. Marriott certainly diluted, but it was diluted by tough decisions that people probably had a stake in saying, well, do this, cut this cost or cut this. And it hurt the integrity of the brand. And at the end of the day, the brand has to stand for something. And there are things that we do, methods to our madness, that differentiate us from other people. And you want to pray and beg and hope that your investors trust you based on 40 years of doing this to see it through. My role is to my chief operating officer, to my managing directors, to my staff, is please, please stay the course. There's a way to have our cake you need it too. There's a way in which to maybe expedite the process to give returns quicker, but still staying true to the integrity of the brand. And the more I can put this in a book form, in internet form, in video form, the more I'm not only able to educate my team and the public, but also the partners, investors, to please trust us, trust the process.
You mentioned the staff a couple of times, Larry. So how do you involve them? Because it seems like when you started out, it was very much you sitting at the dining table, getting all this information crafted, and then going presenting that first version. How do you get them involved in evolving it? As you said, it has to be evolved. It has to be challenged. You know, times changes.
So I've always been, as a kid, a great Disney fan as a kid, and then a great believer in Disney as a parent. And as a business, I read a lot of Disney books. And my favorite Walt Disney quote sort of really guided me early on. And it's many hands, many hearts. And it's the idea that to create something special and something extraordinary, it takes collaborations to create these synergies. I think to be successful today, you need these collaboration synergies more than ever. So early on, I recognized, and my dad was always great about asking people's opinions and really listening and hearing them and thinking about them and being the last to sort of give his opinion because he really wanted to hear everybody's opinion. I'm not as good as him with all that, but everything we've done has been a roundtable. This Atelier AK, we have so many different people involved in creating an extraordinary lifestyle experience through food, beverage, and that element. So I think early on, all the regional directors were a part of Quest. I saved everybody's memos, emails. We didn't have that then. We had intercompany memos. So those made it, if somebody said something in a memo form that was sent out, I saved it. So a lot of people were involved. When we did AK Way, I was sort of Tom Sawyer. I literally was giving a chapter to Alana, our marketing director. I was giving a chapter on asset management to Alex. I was giving IT to Katie. Everybody and Bob, everybody had a chapter that they were involved with and did. And then when we did AK Way, they were involved in filming the housekeeping director making the bed or setting up the there were many hands, many hearts putting together Quest, AK Way, and the DNA of AK. So it is absolutely the staff, the team, the people who have been with us 30, 40, 50 years. They bring such an extraordinary breadth and depth to that. And they're saying it from their perspective, whether they're in marketing or they've been in Pennsylvania or California or Florida. They're bringing their local flavor to show the three-dimensionality of AK and the way in which it can be viewed from different perspectives and lenses.
What have been your own biggest learning doing this kind of work over 30 years? Like, what was like, what did you take from it?
So I think what comes from it is that you have to have, there has to be, and I don't like to use Donald Trump as an example, but that man every day hits something crazy in his life on it. This is a negative side of it. And he wakes up refreshed. So I think as a leader of a company, whether it's a leader of a property, a leader of a region, a leader of a division, a leader of any company, you almost need to be thick-skinned. And you have to be very aware that you as a leader, each day you're hit by something and you communicate in a way you're impacting other people. So I think you have to, you sent something out great today. You have to write down all your thoughts at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. Deal with them. But when you're out there, you have to remember you're delivering a message as to who we are, what we do, how we do it 24/7. There's not like, oh, I can have one bad day. You don't want to be a mercurial leader who's showing highs and lows and all over the place. That's not a healthy environment. You have to remember at the end of the day, and this is after 37 years of doing this and highs, lows, different partnerships, there has to be one common theme to who we are. And it's not based on the square footage or that, or making a financial, it's how it all starts with that traveler and that person getting a good night's sleep. How do we create that environment for not only our guest having a great night's sleep, but even more important to me is our team member having an extraordinary day, that I know if they're feeling good about what they're doing, they're going to deliver great service and experience to our guests. How do I create, me personally, during COVID, I was every single day with my team members. There's pictures of me holding hands and ours separating and doing this. I want to be a part of cleaning, doing everything with the team, because if they're leaving the safety of their home and they're coming, and we opened every door at every property and stayed open and resonated new, but we didn't know that going into it. We didn't know what the risks were. Every team member was coming. What heroes to me, the courage and the conviction to come to work. So my role first is to make an extraordinary experience for each team member. They in turn will make an extraordinary experience for each guest. That combination, I have trust and faith, will create an extraordinary experience for our investors in the long term. It's not a short-term business, residential real estate. But my role personally is, how do I create a great, I don't want to say workplace, just an environment, overall feel that I feel proud of what I'm doing. I'm doing something special. I'm making a difference. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm having fun with who I'm doing it with. So that's my role, and that's culture at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I guess you couldn't really explain that if you didn't do the work. You didn't sit down and write and read and continue doing that.
If you're just doing what you're doing, you're seeing one-dimensional. You're just seeing your world. You're not opening yourself. My grad school was going to hotels around the world, working for some of the ones while I was in high school, like Trust House Forte for 4 months in a management training. My just going a couple months ago to Japan for 2 weeks and meeting some of the top hoteliers on planet Earth. One of the books I was given by the general manager at the Four Seasons at Odomachi was called Wabi Sabi, and it was trying to find perfection in an imperfect world. Mm. And I gave that as one of my holiday gifts at our year-end meeting at dinner, along with a lot of other swag and fun stuff. But I gave that Wabi Sabi book to every one of our team leaders and staff leaders, because it's a reminder, you're not always going to create perfection. Not everything's going to go your way. Rarely does. But how do you deal with that? And how do you still find fulfillment, both professionally, but especially personally? That's important.
That book connects with me, because I got that book from somebody interviewed, because I was very fascinated about how he's delivered on such a high level in such a challenging environment. He was scaling a business very fast. And it's like that, you know, as he said, the answer is in this book. You know, you read that and then we can have to take that question. And it's really about, you know, accepting that, you know, you have to define what perfection is in your world and actually accept the unperfect world as it is, and actually just accept
there's other
things
books
that
like
they
that.
Are. Yeah.
Don't Sweat the Small Stuff's a great yeah. one. Who Moved My Cheese is a classic one that still resonates 80 years later.
Yeah, Dr. Spencer, yeah.
Yeah. So there's great books that just help you personally Self-Fulfillment in a World Upside Down, Dan Gilovich. There's so many great books that help you on the personal side that by virtue of helping you on the personal side, really help you on the professional side. Because at the end of the day, your business is who you are and how you deliver your message.
Yeah, and that's quite interesting. A segue again, moving us a bit on to the conversation to talk about, you know, what is the, you know, you'll probably have, like me, there's many books I aspire to, and I have my probably top 50 books I will, depending on where I am and what mood I'm in, I will need to go to. But what is like your key book? What is the book, you know, your number one favorite book of all time that you'd maybe recommend to everybody and you might 9 out of 10 times would buy and give away as a present to in a business context?
The Good to Great is one I was mentioning earlier, because yeah. I do go back to that. Everybody needs that reminder. Everybody gets beaten down by a boss or a partner or an investor. And you have to remind yourself there. It's just sort of like that old rule that 1 out of 5 people make the sale because a certain percent give up after the first no, the second no, the third no, and only 20% really are willing to go to the fifth no. So they're making the majority lion share of the sales. I think that's true with companies also, that you can get beat down because of these short-term ephemeral snippets that say, see, that works, so do that, or you're not generating it quick enough, so to expedite it, you should be doing this. And you make these compromises that jeopardize where the goal was, where to reach. So there's so few companies that are willing to be great because there's a time element that goes against good and with great that so few people are willing to go that time, spend that time. So it's a constant reminder to me, and it's one that I use with some of my team leaders, is trust the process, persistence, perseverance, all those go with patience and push. There's a way you can push and have patience and persevere to get to that point.
Yeah, also if the clarity, I often say, if you have clarity of purpose and direction, then you can actually have much more patience because you can see the things that are happening because you're already clarified very clearly the journey. We had Singerman's, Ari Weinzweig from Singerman's, the CEO and co-founder of Singerman's Communities in the US, and they have this incredible business in Ann Arbor. And they've written down this vision document for 10 years at the time, and they involved the whole business in it. And it stands, if you read that, it's an 18 pages document. It's free on the internet. You can see how...
I'm reading it. I'm going to get it. I love this.
They evolve and how they see the future. How are you going to feel when you go into Delhi in 2025? What kind of contribution are we giving to the city? And they can see these things are happening. So it's not like a result. It's not a sales number. It's actually how things are evolving and how now they talk a lot about how the owner structure is going to look when Ari and Paul has to resign at some point. They're in their 60s now, so they know at some point they have to hand the business down to the employees. So they're creating this new fund and foundation around that because they don't want Amazon to buy it. That's the goal, because then they think the soul will be depleted.
I love that.
I'll send you the interview, Larry, but you'll find it very fascinating.
Continuation is an important objective. How do you pass that baton?
Yeah, and he's written 4 books about their philosophy in principles, which is ready available to buy as well. But coming back to Good to Great, you know, you made it very clear, Good to Great, it's the time perspective in Good to Great. But what else is it in Good to Great that you really, you know that works and resonate? Because it's one of my, you know, it's one of my favorite book. I built a number of my businesses on that, and I always go in with that kind of mindset. Now it's become, that's how I think, that's how I work, you know, level 5 leadership, you know, face the facts, right people on the bus, wrong people off the bus.
I literally was in a meeting, a monthly meeting in West Palm yesterday, and I used a quote from that. And it basically, in real term explanation, was we're trying to do something different where our smaller properties, we're treating them like a private club membership. So it's only these Access AK members that can come in, or the hotel guests. And the idea is it's a very small hotel with intimate spaces, and our partners would love to let everybody in so they can use the bar. And the thinking is, yes, you would make a couple extra pennies selling more drinks, but the people who are staying there and really putting 85-90% are going to be very unhappy. And they're not going to tell you why, but they're going to come home after a long day. They can't sit at their own bar. There's not many other amenities there. And next time they're going to stay somewhere else. So you'll never hear of it. You won't hear why, and you'll be really happy that the bar revenue has gone up, but you'll be, why did the occupancy, why did the ADR go down? What are we doing wrong? And you didn't stay to that. So sometimes there's this message of being great at the cost of being good is something you have to look at that big picture. So I was trying to use messaging from that book in yesterday's meeting, and I think some people heard and some didn't hear it, but that there's a cost associated to not being great. There is a correlation in our industry that says if you lower the rate, you will increase occupancy. But there's people who will not consider you because they're judging you if they don't know your brand based on a low cost with others that they do know. So they figure, well, you're telling the world how you see yourself. If you're priced with everybody else low, then you're not much confidence in yourself. So I'm not going to stay there. So I think that there's not a general direct connect between price and occupancy. I think that there is a way in which to have a higher price to communicate that you're better than these others. And after a pandemic, they might want to pay more to get more based on cleanliness or presentation or not being with people they don't want to be with. So I think good to great is a reminder at any time period that there's a cost to being good. It's not just it costs more to be great. No, it's a discipline to be great. It's a commitment to sticking to that knitting to be great. It's not necessarily a cost to be great.
And what about the flywheel effect? How are you? Because that's one of the most powerful concepts I think I took from good to great from an early age. And it's principled about the power of consistency.
I'm a huge believer in that. I think as a person, as I said earlier, if I'm a leader that is all over the place, if I'm not consistent in my message, and I am consistent in my message, I'm consistently upbeat. Somebody asks me how I'm doing. Awesome. I'm consistent with the way in which I'm going to treat a person. I'll be honest. I'll be transparent. I won't say something behind something back that I won't say, but consistency in the way of the guest experience, consistency of the team members being with each other. There is a huge value and worth in continuity, consistency. I'm a huge believer of that.
How do you think about, like, do you think good to great has, you know, the companies that's in there are, you know, some of them has, you know, since failed. And Jim Collins is very clear about that as he been doing extra blogs on the book, interviews that actually some companies didn't continue being great. Do you think the book is still relevant in the new world, the new world order and how things are new, the new normal?
Yeah, because, you know, just like how you can learn individually from something you did wrong. He points out, look, In Search of Excellence was the first one to point out. I think he points out because here's the things they did great to get great. Here's the things they did not so great to be good. And there are times you can't have your head in the sand. The things you did 20 years ago to be great may not make you great today. If you don't change with the times and adapt and do things different. An example, we were very against taking dogs at our properties because they could smell the carpet. If they bite something, you have to get a... There's an obvious reason why we didn't want to take them. During the COVID, people got pets. People were traveling with their pets. If you didn't adapt and say, all right, we not only have a pet policy, we're embracing it. We have pet spas. We have organic food you can order from the bar. There are things... We're creating central barks. So we have these dog areas where they can have fun. There's dog grooming services. All these elements, we just opened up a dog spa at AKA West Palm, and we partnered with the number one dog groomer in that area and made this her home. And we've three-dimensionally embraced it. We used to have big conference rooms. We now have Zoom rooms, podcast booths. We have a cinema at every property because not only is it entertainment at night, but during the day, people are Zooming in a different way. You must change the amenities, the services, the way in which you operate must change daily. But the principles, the values, those must stay consistent. And I think Jim does a great job of talking about some of the ones that stuck to their knitting too much, too long. And there's lessons in and of that.
One of them exactly is in there. They're still, I guess they're still thriving. I haven't looked in yesterday. Like you have Southwest Airlines, you have Costco, you have these kind of companies that's actually built on this whole kind of good to great philosophy. It's not like they read his book. They they were operating like that, and they're still delivering consistent results. We're not going to talk about maybe 20%, but they're consistently 6 to 10% delivering no matter what environment they're in. And I think that's the one of the key things I took out of Good to Great is that no matter what environment they face, they're consistent in their performance. And, you know, Warren Buffett loves investment like that. Everybody will love that because then you don't have to worry too much about them. You invest and you take your reward in 20 years' time.
After reading that, I actually hired a group called Another Anomaly because we were called Cormac Communities. I wanted to create this AKA. Our partners at BlackRock weren't sure about the name change. I explained Cormac had nothing known outside. We're going to New York, tall, skinny buildings. I wanted 3, 4, 5 letters. But I hired this group, Another Anomaly, and it was made up of 5 individuals that were leaders at Hewlett-Packard, at Target, at Sony, as a thought leader. So for 1 month, they had to actually stay in an AKA hotel residence. And it was nuances they picked up. They said, whether I'm in an 850 square foot residence or 250 hotel room, there's times I want human interaction. It'd be great if you had a cafe or a larger fitness center. I don't mind not doing workout if I'm going 1 day, but if I'm going 1 month, I want a really good place to work out. So we built a much larger fitness center. We built an A lounge and A cafe where they could have drinks with guests, other guests. They could have meals with the outside public, but they could get in their elevator and go to their 850 square foot residence. They liked the nuance of not hearing knocks on the door. They liked having one housekeeping versus every day. They could leave their jeans on a bed. It made them feel like they were coming back home. So all these nuances from all these thought leaders came together, and it was like taking good to great and three-dimensionally hearing and from these thought leaders in these other industries based on staying with us and paying them a lot of money to come up with their. But it really then drove, like, our first property, AKA United, we didn't build out 80% of the first floor. I waited for them. I knew downstairs had to be about serenity and just calm, but I didn't know what that meant until after that. So then we went and built the lounge, the large fitness center. I was going to do a restaurant. We put the fitness center where we have the largest fitness center in New York City still, because it was important for those individuals who were staying longer term. Having a lounge with a really well-curated drink list by Death & Co. Having a cafe with a great chef where they can get a great breakfast. They didn't care about lunch or dinner as much, but a great breakfast. So I really listened to what these thought leaders had to say. So it was a three-dimensional version for AK from good to great that I was able to put together based on the architecture of what he had done in his book.
And that's super interesting again, because one of the things with good to great companies, they also wait for the right moment to make the decision. They don't haste to make a decision because you need to finish the project now. Actually, we don't have the full information. Face the brutal facts. We don't know. We have to seek the answer before we take the action, because it will harm us if we take too quick action. And that's really interesting in today's environment where people want to execute very, very fast. But what kind of insights are you building that on? That's gut feeling, as they would call it in Good to Great. That's never going to take you anything, where you actually need to understand exactly what the customer want or what's happening inside your organization or your property, as you said. I love that. What are you reading now, Larry?
So I'm reading a book called Alchemy, and it was bought by my oldest son, Alec, who just joined the company, and it's called The Dark Art and Curious Science of Creating Magic in Brands, Business, and Life. And it looks really interesting. I just started diving into it, and I'm really excited about this one. It's by Rory Sutherland. He's the vice chair of Ogilvy.
Have you heard
of this? Alchemy.
Yeah, exactly. I have it at home.
It's got the big yellow cover.
And it's a very interesting, very long-term focusing on how you build brand. And alchemy is also what culture is, in principle. It's this, you know, how do you turn sand into gold, in principle, and alchemists turn things into gold. And that's, you know, there is...
And the group I hired, their name was... alchemy. So I thought that was I added that part to the story since as a segue to that book.
We'll put the book in the show notes. Definitely. I'm just making a note here so we remember that, because I think lots of the listeners will love that. What are you what has been your most significant learnings the last 12 months? It seems like you've been very busy, and I know you have a very busy schedule ahead of you as well, but what has been your biggest learning? As a leader, I always believe you learn.
I brought in two people that the two things I was doing, I sort of wrote down all the things I'm doing. I have a really good partner in Joe Lubeck who said to me, Larry, I love you, but you need this and this. And he was right. And what I needed was the two things I thought I did really well through operations and renovations. I went out and it took me a year to find somebody who was extraordinary, Blake, who is probably a force unlike any other in the hospitality with an extensive background, brilliant as an operating leader. And then I went out and found a gentleman named Scott, who for 25 years was building high rises of the highest level in New York, around the world. So I now, for the first time, they've both been with us for 6 months. They have taken the world by storm. We are operating at a higher level than we ever have. We are renovating and transforming at a higher level than we ever have. We still are working with some of the great architects like the Lissoni team and others. And it's allowing me to be more of a thought leader and think more about the things you and I have been talking about. Interaction with the partners, investors. I've had opportunities to do other things with other partners, but I've really made a wholehearted commitment to the group we're with right now because I think it's a special group that really has the potential to take AK to this next international, global, extraordinary level. And I've turned down a lot of other offerings, but I want to be able to meet with people who are thinking about things because you learn during that process. Even the process of interviewing a lot of extraordinary people for these two positions, I met some great people. I've become friends with some of them. I'm able to ask them questions. One is one of the leaders at Auberge. I've asked him a lot of questions, Scott Rahm. There's individuals on the renovation side that I've asked questions because nobody has all the answers. So I like to get different. I'm just able to think more, meet with more people, look at what's in store for us 12 months, 24 months, 5 years in advance. So it's been a great leap of faith in the last 12 months to give away the authority on the asset and operation side to people who I know are much better. I did it 20 years ago with our AV division, with Leanne. She was much better than me. So I didn't have to get involved. And the key is you have to give autonomy and entrepreneurship. So my dad did it with me. I've done it with Leanne, and I'm doing it with Scott and Blake. They're 6 months in, but I want to make sure they feel like they're having my time and attention as they do that and not just, you know, see you later. So that's been the best learning curve in the last 12 months is that partner yourselves with people who are better than you so you can do something that helps in a different way.
And I guess that's a really hard process, no matter if how much you understand the concept, because again, it's a business with strong roots into history, you know, generations of people, and you have a big legacy you have to, you know, respect, but also protect. And you want to make sure you do that in the right way, I could imagine.
Absolutely. Our fifth generation, some of my kids, some of my brother's kids have joined the company, and you want to be able to pass that baton to the next generation. But we have probably, and the chair of one of our largest partners has always commented on this. We have more leaders in our company that have been with us 20, 30, 40, even 50 years that are still there by our side. Some are working as advisors. Some are part-time. Some are still 24/7. Some have gone from regional to manager level. So we've got a lot of people in housekeeping, in maintenance, in sales, in management that are there as part of that structural body of who we are and what we do and how we do it and how we differentiate and why we do it to differentiate. So that helps with the new leaders. It allows you to bring new leaders in who bring new vim and vigor to the offering and new ways of thinking beyond just reading about or seeing what others are doing. Because we always want to think fresh. We never want to have our head in the sand, but we want to evolve in a thoughtful, meaningful way that still stays close to the values we have as a family.
What is the top advice you would give to other business leaders out there that's also trying to build a business as a force for good, that's putting more than just a thing in the world, but actually something that means give meanings to the people, society, and the planet eventually?
I wouldn't overreact to a bad thing happen. I think you have to separate yourself and be thoughtful and say, all right, am I heading in the right direction? Am I doing the right things? Am I just listening to a lot of people reacting to the time? So I think you have to divorce yourself and step back and not take the bad as so bad. On the other side, if things are going really good, don't take the really good for it, because you don't want to have your head in the sand, as we were talking earlier about. I think you want to stay even this idea of consistency and continuity. You don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You want to be thoughtful. So if you remain thoughtful and there's a vision you have and you see that end result where you envision yourself being, and you know thoughtfully, like writing down those things in your head, like you were saying today, and you're doing the things that you know are getting you towards that, don't worry about all that frequency and interference and toxic reaction. Stay the course, have the courage of conviction. You will get there. It'll just take a little longer sometimes, and the sweeter fruit is on that farthest limb. And if you're willing to do what it takes to get there, that's when the tears, when you do a long transformation and you have that opening party and you know what you went through to get there. And then you get to that point where you've had your first refinancing, or the partners are clicking glasses because you had the tears come down because you know what you went through. It makes it that much more rewarding if you're willing really to toil and do the things the right way.
I love that. There's a playing the long game and put the S where the work has to be done, in principle. Love that. What is the one question, Larry, you wished I've asked you, and what would the question be, and what is the answer?
I guess it would be that idea of rate, and why are your rates so low right now versus nobody asks us that, but our rates are very low. It was always because we were selling something monthly. So our early on with AKA Hotel Residence, we said you could pay $9.95 to stay at a one bedroom at AKA Central Park. We're no different in terms of assuaging one's need for location or luxury as the Plaza or Four Seasons. But if you stay weekly, we're going to drop the rate to $6.95. And if you stay monthly, it's $3.95. But we know we're getting a higher occupancy with a lot less cost. So we're a hybrid between multifamily and hospitality. We have not made that transition yet, as we've gone to Hotel AK, to have that higher rate, because we're in the branding process of defining what Hotel AK is versus other hotels. So the question I would ask right now is, when one looks at our rates, I just got a call from our food and beverage director in Philadelphia, who was going to call me for a friends and family stay, that were, and they said they saw the rates and they were so low that she felt guilty calling me. So I would say that's a question I don't want to be asked by a lot of people right now, because we have to have that courage of conviction to raise the rate. And I know it's hard when there's a lot of breaking of the eggs going on, because all the properties have some form of renovation going on, and they'll feel a lot better when all of that's out. But at some point, we have to make that leap of faith to that higher rate now that we are doing daily and weekly stays in hotel rooms. So that's a question I don't want to be asked right now. And hopefully next time I'm on your broadcast, I'll be saying we made that leap.
That's great, you know, and also you're adapting to the situation, but you know the reason why what you're doing.
There are times we have listened to our partners and lower the rate to increase occupancy to have enough to pay and do that. And it is a way of sort of bending a little to those. So I want to listen to my own words and stay the course, but I know there's those tainted realities of expectations. So that would be the question I want to be asked right now.
that's a good one. I love that. Where can people find out more about, you know, AKA, you? Is there anywhere to go if they like?
So I'm on Instagram. I love Instagram. I love seeing other people's pictures. People connect with me all the time. My email address is lmk@corman.com. My cell phone is 215-341-1703. I'm always visible. I'm much better on email and text than I am with a phone, because I'm always with people and I don't like to be that person who's on the phone all the time when I'm having a conversation. I'm at the properties 24/7. My brother and I kid that if he's not in the office, he's not doing his job. If I'm at the office, I'm not doing my job. So I'm always at the properties, and I love when residents come up because I learn so much each time directly from somebody staying with us, a guest or a resident. I love that. So I'm very accessible. So give me a call or visit. Our website, stayk.com, is awesome. We have avliving.com, which is our apartments and furnished apartments. And then the secret one, DNA, that's for partners. Anybody listening, is dna.stayak.com. And we don't give that one out. That's for Michael's audience only. And can look under our hood.
Great, 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 great. Thank you so much, Larry, for sharing that. And we will make sure to get all that into the show notes as well. I send you and the team power and energy, and I look forward to our next conversation, which I'm sure there's going to be one, and maybe a bit earlier than this one.
Well, in the interim, I'm going to send you Quest and the AK Way, and I'll send you the link to DNA, well, dna.stayak.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Larry, and power and energy.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
I really appreciate that you're listening in. So if you enjoyed today's conversation, please share with others, rate it or give it a review, or subscribe to one of our channels, which all can be done via the website hospitalitymavericks.com. I believe that reading books is key to become a great leader. So I've helped you with a curated list of some of the books that have impacted the guests here on the show and myself over the years. Find it on Hospitality Mavericks website, hospitalitymavericks.com, under the reading list. A big thank you to BizTemply for supporting us, bringing great insights, strategies, and tools to help leaders to become better every day. Check them out at bizsimply.com or on their social at BizSimply or BizSimplyHQ. You can also email them directly at podcast@bizsimply.com. If you have any ideas and feedback for the show or other thoughts, reach out to me via LinkedIn or my email, michael@hospitalitymaverick.com. I'm Michael Tingseth, and you've been listening to the Hospitality Maverick podcast show. Be Maverick!